Now, next payment system is a consignment basis. Consignment basis. A consignment sale refers to a transaction in which the exporter sends the goods to a foreign distributor or importer without transferring the title, and payment is made to the exporter only after the goods are sold to end customers. In consignment basis, the risk of unsold inventory and the damage remains with the exporter until the point of final sale. So, features of the consignment basis trade is described as under. Title of the goods. What is the feature of that? What is the feature? The description is title of the goods is retained by the exporter until the final sale is performed. Then payment timing. Post sale, usually after the defined credit period. Okay. Then importer's role functions as an agent or distribution and not as a buyer. So, risk to the exporter is very high, which includes the credit risk, inventory risk, and the currency risk. Customs treatment may be treated as a temporary export or inventory stock in the destination country. This process flow of this consignment export is as under. Exporter and importer agrees to the consignment terms, distributor or agency agreement. Exporter ships the goods and retains the ownership. Goods are stored in importer's warehouse or bonded facility. Importer sells the goods to the end customers. Importer periodically remits the proceeds to the exporter, and exporter raises the commercial invoice for the goods sold and settled payment. Documentation in respect of the consignment sale consists of consignment agreement, which is defining the rights, responsibility, and payment terms. Pro forma invoice at the time of shipment, much before the shipment happens. Packing list, transfer documentation. Transfer documentation consists of bill of lading or airway bill, warehouse receipt or delivery note, periodic commercial invoice, that is after sale, at what rate the sale is happened, repatriation records, that is payment advice, swift messages must be procured, and the declaration under FEMA via authorized dealer bank, that has to be obtained. These are the documents. Now, regulatory framework for the consignment sale, as far as the FEMA and RBI guidelines is concerned, the consignment exports are permitted subject to certain conditions, and these conditions and regulatory aspects, as far as the permissibility is concerned, it is allowed under the consignment export arrangement. Realization period, proceeds must be realized within 365 days from the date of shipment. Inventory reporting is exporter must monitor and report the unsold stock periodically. Extension period is possible via authorized dealer or RBI if justified. Bank reporting is a transaction must be routed through the EDPMS, and third party arrangement that is allowed under the declaration provided underlying sale is traceable. UCP 600 applicability. Now, in case of consignment sale, the uniform customs and practice for documentary credit is not directly applicable to the consignment trade unless a letter of credit is involved. Unless letter of credit is involved. For example, for unsold returns, guarantees, or partial prepayment. Most consignment transactions are open account based and managed outside the scope of UCP 600. So please remember, UCP 600 is not applicable to the consignment export. Risk and the risk mitigation. Risk is non-payment risk. How it is mitigated? Use of performance bond or insurance, for example, ECGC or standby LC. Now, currency risk. Use of forward contract or invoice in Indian rupees, where it is permitted. Then inventory loss or theft. It requires the bonded warehouse, periodic audit report and insurance. That will mitigate that risk of inventory loss and theft. And the legal risk will be mitigated with a strong consignment agreement, jurisdiction clauses and dispute resolution mechanism. Now, coming down to another method is factoring and forfeiting. Factoring and forfeiting. Factoring and forfeiting are the structured trade finance method which are used to convert the receivable into immediate cash, thus enabling the exporters to manage its cash flow and mitigate the credit risk. Now, the instrument is a factoring. How it works? That financial arrangement where the business sells a short-term account receivable. I repeat, short-term account receivable, usually up to 180 days, to a third party called as a factor at the discount and in exchange for immediate cash. This is covered under factoring. And in forfeiting, which is a form of a trade finance, where exporter sells their medium or long-term receivable, typically beyond 6 months up to 7 years, to the forfeiter, usually without recourse and in exchange for upfront payment. If you consider the key features, which consist of tenor, in factoring, tenor is 30 to 180 days and forfeiting it is 180 days to 7 years. Recourse, factoring recourse may or may not be available. But in forfeiting, generally it is without recourse. So nature of receivables, it is a bulk trade receivable in respect of factoring. And in forfeiting, bill of exchange promissory note. Okay, this is required to be given or submitted. As far as security is concerned, the factoring, this transaction is unsecured, whereas in forfeiting, usually it is backed by the bank guarantee or ELC. Parties which are involved in factoring transaction consist of exporter, importer and factor. And in respect of the forfeiting, it is exporter, importer, forfeiter and a guarantor. Like that, four parties are there, which factoring is ideal for consumer goods and recurring trades, whereas forfeiting is ideal for capital goods and high value contracts. Now, process flow of factoring. How the process flow happens in respect of factoring? The exporter ships the goods under open account and the exporter sells the invoice to the factoring agency. Factor pays up to 80 to 90% of invoice value upfront, and factor collects the payment from the foreign buyer on due date. Balance is paid to the exporter after deduction of the fee and the interest. Simple process. In respect of forfeiting, exporter agrees to sell the goods on deferred payment basis, which is backed by the bill of exchange or promissory note. Exporter issues the debt instrument. Usually it is guaranteed by their bank, importer's bank, which is in their country, that is importer's country. Then exporter sells these instruments to the forfeiter at the discount. Forfeiter pays the upfront, assume the full risk and collects at maturity. Now, guidelines in respect of the factoring and forfeiting. RBI and FEMA guidelines. Okay. Factoring is governed under FEMA 1999 and RBI's Master Direction Export of Goods and Services. Exporters can assign the receivables to the factoring companies and domestic or international. Export factoring transactions must be routed through the AD category 1 bank. not through any other bank. Factoring companies must be registered with the RBI as NBFC factors under this Factoring Regulation Act 2011 for Indian firms. Export proceeds must be realized within the permissible limit, usually within 9 months' time, as per the RBI norm. In respect of the forfeiting, there is no separate RBI regulation as such for treated under the general export receivable discounting norms. Forfeiting is a transaction governed by the FEMA and RBI trade credit circulars if financing is involved. This forfeiting transaction is conducted through the banks or authorized financial institution. Payment realization timelines and the documentations are tracked through the ADPMS only. So Indian banks may offer forfeiting facilities or assist in syndicating the global forfeiters. UCP 600 applicability. Factoring does not directly fall under UCP 600, as I stated earlier also, unless they connected with the LC-based trade. And the forfeiting. In forfeiting, when structured with the deferred LC or avalized promissory note, may fall under UCP 600, URC 522, Uniform Rules for Collection, and often uses the ICC rules for demand guarantee, URDG 758, or URF, that is Uniform Rules for Factoring, in some cases. Risk and mitigation. For factoring and forfeiting, the risk, credit risk, as far as credit risk concerned, the mitigation strategy consists of non-recourse factoring or forfeiting with the guarantee. Currency risk, forward contract or Indian rupee invoicing if applicable. Political and transfer risk, ECGC cover, use of multilateral agencies, and the performance disputes, clear trade contract, arbitration clauses. This is performance dispute resolution. This is the risk and mitigation. Now, Indian context and trends. In India, witnessing the rising adoption of the factoring, especially post trades platform, that is trade receivable discounting system. The factors, TREDS, is a platform. TREDS is this platform's long form, is a trade receivable discounting system, which is enabling digital invoice discounting. Okay. Now, RBI has liberalized the trade credit norms for forfeiting and the external commercial borrowing, that is ECB, improving the flexibility for the long-term trade receivable. Therefore, the exporters of engineering goods, telecom equipment, and the large infrastructure services are primary users of forfeiting in India. In international trade, risk matrix, as far as risk matrix is concerned, exporter versus importers. In international trade, the selection of the payment method, is a strategic decision that significantly influences the risk allocation between the exporter and importer. A structured risk matrix helps the stakeholders to assess these risks systematically and select the most appropriate method for a given transaction. Key risk international payments. Now, risks in international payment. Which are risk? Type of risk and definition. Now, payment risk. Payment risk means the risk that the seller does not receive the payment on time at all. Performance risk means the risk that buyer receives the goods services not in conforming with the contract. Then country of the political risk. Risk arising from the regulation, currency restriction, or political instability. Then documentation risk. Risk due to incomplete or inaccurate trade documentation, non-compliance with the FEMA RBI and customs and international trade laws is covered under regulatory risk, and currency and exchange rate risk is nothing but a risk of the value erosion due to the forex exchange rate fluctuation. Now, comparative risk matrix for the payment method. Here you can see the table, which is clearly indicative for the considering the all the payment methods on left side. Then there will be column 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. There will be 5 columns, which consist of exporter payment risk, importer's performance risk, documentation risk, regulatory burden, and exchange rate risk in respect of advance payment, letter of credit, documentary collection, open account, consignment basis, factoring, and forfeiting. If you look at the first one, the advance payment, where exporter payment risk is low, importer's performance risk is a high, documentation risk is a low, and regulatory burden is a low but monitored, and the exchange rate risk is a very high. This is in respect of advance payment. This way how you can read this table. In short, in letter of credit, exporter's payment risk is medium and structured, whereas importer's performance risk is medium. Documentation risk in respect of letter of credit is very high, strict as per the UCP 600. And regulatory burden is also very high as per the FEMA and UCP 600. And exchange rate risk is a medium that can be covered by any of the party. Then documentary collection, the exporter payment risk is very medium and high, as well as importer's performance risk is a medium. Similarly, documentation risk is a medium, and regulatory burden is a medium, and exchange rate is a medium. So, in short, the documentary collection carries very low as well as a medium risk in all type of segments, like all type of a risk. Whereas in open account, for exporter, payment risk is very high. Exporter's payment risk is high, and importer's performance risk is low. Documentation risk is low, and regulatory burden is also low. Exchange rate burden in case of open account is very high. And in case of consignment basis, the exporter's payment risk is very high. Importer's performance risk is very low, and documentation risk is also low, whereas regulatory burden is a medium due to the FEMA rules, and the exchange rate risk is a high. If you consider factoring as a payment method, for exporter, there is a low payment risk. For importer, there is a low payment risk. For documentation, there will be low risk. For regulatory burden, there is a medium due to the RBI and NBFC's regulatory guidelines. And the exchange rate risk is a medium type. And lastly, the forfeiting. Forfeiting, the first exporter's risk under forfeiting is low if it is a guaranteed. Okay. And importer's risk is a low, documentation risk is medium, regulatory burden is medium, and the risk of exchange rate is also low at the fixed maturity, as there is a fixed maturity in forfeiting. So friends, this is the comparative risk matrix of the payment method. This is a comparative study. For the quick reference, you can use this table to understand the whole gamut of the risk management under the payment methods. Guidelines under the RBI and FEMA. Payment timelines, what RBI says, payment should be made within 9 months or in case of 15 months for SEZ for shipment. Months for SEZ. Okay, advance payment handling, RBI permit advance against the exporters with the safeguarding, that is bank guarantee for more than $500,000, use EDPMS. LC transactions must comply with the UCP 600 routed through the AD category 1 bank, and LC must be irrevocable and time bound. Documentary collection, it is covered by URC 522, needs the standard ICC rules for handling the DP and DA documents. Open account consignment allowed under the FEMA, subject to realization within the prescribed time and the full documentation tracking. Tracking is very important in respect of open account. Factoring and forfeiting must be handled via RBI registered entities and comply with the EDPMS reporting. UCP 600 and URC 522. Compliance and relevance. As far as letter of credit is concerned, UCP 600 is fully applicable, whereas URC 522 is not applicable. If it is a documentary collection, UCP 600 is not applicable, URC 522 fully applicable. Open account, there will be no UCP 600, there will be no URC 522. Whereas in factoring and forfeiting, generally not under UCP 600, and the partially URC 522 is applicable if LC-backed instruments are there. Now, decision matrix for the exporter. Now, which method is to be suitable for what type of scenario type, what type of business is explained here. First, you can see the scenario is a transaction is high value, there will be new buyer, there will be a political risk country. Then in this situation, you want to export the goods. What is your recommended method? Recommended method is letter of credit for or forfeiting. Another scenario is low value, repeated buyer. Earlier you have dealt with this buyer, repeated buyer, and low risk country. Then which method you can use? You can open account or factoring method. Uncertain demand in new market. This is a uncertain demand in new market. Then definitely uncertain demand means it is a consignment basis you can opt for. But when buyer requests the deferred payment with the guarantee, then you have to choose for forfeiting or LC or deferred payment. LC on deferred payment. The cash hungry exporters and reliable buyers. If this is the category, then definitely you should have the advance payment or factoring. The factors affecting the choice of payment methods. There are various factors that affects the choosing the right payment method. The key factors which are influencing the choice of the payment method consist of one, relationship between the buyer and seller. This is one. Trust and past performance plays a pivotal role. New relationship may require secure mechanism like letter of credit. Long-standing partner may opt for the open account or documentary collection. Another point is political and economic environment. This factor consists of the transaction which involves the countries with the political instability, currency restrictions, or sanctions require the secure payment methods such as LC with confirmed payment, forfeiting, or advance payment. RBI and FEMA guidelines mandate enhancement due diligence for transaction with the higher risk jurisdiction as per the FATF list. Value and volume transactions. High value or the capital intensive exports usually favors the secure method like LC or forfeiting. Low value frequency shipments, that is consumer goods, may use the open account or factoring for operational cases. Another factor is the financing need or cash flow. if exporter with the working capital constraints may prefer an advance payment factoring or LC that allows for the pre-shipment and post-shipment credit. RBI guidelines permit the export credit in foreign currency, that is ECFC, and the pre-shipment credit in INR, that is PCFC, backed by these instruments. Risk appetite and the insurance availability. Exporters with low risk tolerance may insist for the LC transaction. Access to the ECGC, that is Export Credit Guarantee Corporation's coverage, or trade credit insurance may affect the selection method. Another factor is currency and exchange rate risk. This factor is highly volatile currency is used in highly volatile currency situation. Exporters may demand the upfront payment or LC in the stable currencies. RBI permits forward contracts and hedging instruments under the FEMA to mitigate the currency risk, especially for the deferred payment methods. Banking infrastructure. Availability and the credibility of the correspondent banking channel is in both the countries affect the feasibility. So the LC issuance requires a reliable banking institution to act as a issuing, advising, confirming bank under UCP 600. Regulatory and documentation requirement. This type of parameter or methods like LC and documentary collection demand the stringent compliance with the international norms like UCP 600, URC 522 and URDG 758. So, under the FEMA, all the international payment must be routed through the AD category 1 bank and export proceeds must be realized within the prescribed time frame, that is usually 9 months. Market practice and industry norms. This factor also influences the choosing of correct method of payment. Certain industries like oil, gas, or defense conventionally operate through the LCs. Commodity exports may be documentary collection or advance terms, while the consumer goods may offer an open account settlement or TREDS factoring. Availability of the payment guarantee. When an importer offers bank guarantee or standby LC, sellers may be flexible with the payment terms. Okay. Then Indian exporter using such a mechanism should ensure that the guarantee is irrevocable, issued by the reputed bank of international repute, and the compliant with the RBI's guidelines for inward guarantees. Regulatory institution guidelines that RBI, FEMA, UCP 600, URC 522, URD 758, and the ECGC, they have issued a separate guidelines under their separate publications, such as Master Direction by RBI, then Rules under FEMA by regulating time limit, advance receipt, etc. under FEMA, UCP 600, ICICI's Uniform Custom Rules and Practices for Documentary Credit, URC 522. Usually it is used for documentary collection, URDG 758, Uniform Rules for Demand Guarantees, and EDPMS is RBI's Export Data Processing Monitoring System, which tracks the compliance and realization of the export payment, and ECGC offers credit insurance and risk cover for various payments methods. Influencing factors versus preferred methods. Now, there are some factors under which what would be the preferred method that we have to see. If there is a new buyer or a high default risk, then preferred payment method will be letter of credit or advance payment. If reliable long-term buyer, then open account or documentary collection. Need for working capital, then factoring or pre-shipment credit method, you can very well go for. High documentation or legal risk, you can go for advance payment factoring. If there is a currency volatility, then LC in foreign currency, hedged open account, hedge and open account. High value capital goods, if your factors, then forfeiting or LC on the deferred payment basis, you can use this product. Poor banking infrastructure, then advance payment, secured open account. And RBI and FEMA compliance simplicity, if you want, then open account if within the time limit it happens. Okay. The key regulatory bodies and their instrument which they have used, the regulatory framework, right? Reserve Bank of India roles and scope. RBI is India's central bank and apex authority for foreign exchange management, banking operations, and export-import finance. Whereas Ministry of Finance, their role is the policy oversight for the FEMA and the macro-level foreign trade regulations. Then Directorate General of Foreign Trade, DGFT. This issues the foreign trade policy and guidelines for exporters, importers. Then export credit agencies like ECGC provides the credit insurance and the guarantee scheme for exporters. Then authorized dealer, AD banks, act as an intermediary for executing the foreign exchange transactions and monitoring compliances. FEMA and its provision for international payment. The Foreign Exchange Management Act 1999 is the central legislation governing all the foreign exchange dealings in India. Key FEMA guidelines consist of export proceeds must be realized within 9 months from the date of shipment, that is 15 months for SEZ or notified. Import payment must be made within 6 months of shipment unless it is specifically extended. Advance payment and deferred payment. Advance payment and deferred payment terms are permitted, but it is subject to RBI's approval and above certain threshold. Transaction must be routed only through the authorized dealer category 1 bank. Exporter must report the transaction through EDPMS, that is Export Data Monitoring System, Export Data Processing and Monitoring System, and importers via IDPMS, that is Import Data Processing and Monitoring System, UCP 600, URC 522, and URDG 758. India aligns with the globally recognized ICC framework for trade finance instruments. UCP 600 is applicable to governs the letter of credit. Indian banks must adhere when the issuing or advising LC. URC 522 governs the documentary collection applicable to DP and DA basis. And URDG 758 applies to the demand guarantee, which is used in the performance and financial guarantees. Export and import compliance system, that is EDPMS. This is mandatory for all exporters. Track the shipping bills, foreign inward remittances, and realization timelines. Delays or mismatches result into caution listing by RBI. IDPMS also, it is mandatory for importers, monitors bill of entry data, and the ensures the compliance with the FEMA for remittances. Reporting and documentation requirement. Advance payment, key documentation consists of advance remittance form, that is ARF, BG or ELC if it is exceeding the threshold, shipping document and EDPMS reporting. Letter of credit, LC copy, UCP 600 compliance, export invoices, bill of lading and negotiation certificate. Then documentary collection. What are the key documents? Key document consists of collection order, bill of exchange, transfer document and URC 522 compliance. In open account requires invoice, transfer documents, bank communication for realization of confirmation, factoring, forfeiting, trade agreement, assignment notice, and KYC and RBI compliance for NBFC and engagement. This is for factoring and forfeiting. Foreign trade and trade policy and DGFT provisions. The DGFT issues the foreign trade policy, that is FTP, which includes the guidelines of the permissible goods and services for trade, special schemes such as advance authorization, duty drawback, and remission of the duties, and taxes for export products, that is RODTEP, and alignment of FTP with RBI's FEMA regulation is mandatory for trade incentive. Regulatory penalties and non-compliance consequences. Violation of the FEMA or RBI regulations may lead to financial penalty, suspension of IEC, prosecution under FEMA, money laundering under PMLA. AD banks are authorized to impose these restrictions and withhold the foreign exchange transaction in case of non-compliance. So friends, with this, we complete our third chapter on the methods of payment in international trade. Thank you very much.